Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. As always, this is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. As some of you may know, June is college month on Parent Talk. Each week, we will discuss a different aspect of college like admissions, nutrition, stress, and independent living. For more details on each show and guests, check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. Today's topic is college admissions, something that's very stressful for parents, especially in our community. Why is the process so stressful? Can we prepare for this event better? In the studio with me today are Sandhya Balakrishnan and Tiffany Liu. Sandhya is the Programs and Marketing Director at Flex Prep, and Flex Prep is a college counseling program with a team of professionals with decades of experience in college admissions. Sandhya is also a college interview specialist. Welcome to the show, Sandhya.
Thank you. Thank you, Vidya, for having us here today.
Tiffany Liu is the Director of College Counseling and Application Specialist. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thanks very much for having us.
Parents, we're going to be talking to these two experts this hour on how to make college admissions as painless a process as possible. If you have questions, this is the hour to call. Our number is 510-770-1550. So, Tiffany, why are college admissions so stressful these days? Is this a new phenomenon or have things always been this way?
Well, it's definitely the situation that we have a numbers game here where there are a lot more people in the population pool. Mm-hmm. And some colleges have actually restricted the number of students they allow, especially some public schools, because of budget cuts. Uh-huh. But mainly I think it's because there are a lot more voices out there for advice. Many immigrant families will not necessarily know what resources are available to get the most accurate information. And so they'll go on hearsay, what their mm-hmm. friends have been saying. So there's a lot mm-hmm. of misinformation floating out there that I think is the root cause of much stress.
Sandhya, is it also the case that when in the Indian community that you only hear of the successes? That, your friend's son is going to Stanford and the other friend's daughter is going to Yale, and then you feel this immense pressure?
Yeah, I think not only are the parents pressurizing the students, but the students themselves feel a lot of tremendous pressure in the schools they go to. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion is, ignore all this and focus on the strengths, your own particular strengths that you have. And if you focus on that, then finally after 4 years of your high school, when you're actually doing the applications, mm-hmm. your passion and your strengths definitely will show. Mm-hmm. So I would say, again, ignore the pressure or try to put it in the background and then focus on what you're passionate about.
So would it be fair to say that if you want a college education, it is available to you?
America is definitely the land of opportunity, the land of many colleges. So I would definitely say there's a college that is a good fit for each individual student. Now, the best fit college may depend on the specific student's direction in life and mm-hmm. what their specific needs are.
Right. I've heard of this inverted pyramid theory of what admission officers are looking for. So can we quickly go over the components of the admissions process and maybe then we can take it one by one? Tiffany, would you like to take that question?
Sure. It will also depend on the type of school you're looking at. The public schools and the private schools have a slightly different formula of what they're looking for.
Okay.
But for every college in America, the number one thing they're looking for is GPA.
Okay.
There's a lot of myths about extracurricular, and testing is one that we get with many families asking for, oh, is testing the most important? Mm-hmm. It's going to be GPA, because GPA measures your work ethic across 4 full years of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Mm-hmm. A close number two is standardized testing, which is a way that colleges can tell how your school stands with the other schools in America. It's standardized,
right.
It's normalized.
Mm-hmm.
An extracurricular
and that would be the SATs.
The SATs, the SAT2s, some AP scores, depending on the specific requirements of each college.
Okay.
And then extracurricular activities, while coming in a third, for many schools, it's just as important. I wouldn't quite call it an inverted pyramid. I would say it has to be there, but if your numbers aren't there, mm-hmm. the colleges won't even take a look at what else you do outside of school because they want to know how you do as a student.
I'd also like to chime in here. The strength of the classes that you're taking is very important mm-hmm. compared to what your school offers. Let's say your school offers about 10 APs and honors classes.
Mm-hmm.
The colleges are looking to see how well you've challenged yourself, how many APs and honors you've taken mm-hmm. compared to what your school offers, not what some other school offers, but what your particular school offers.
I understand that, but that is exactly the thing that has led to an enormous amount of stress in students because they feel compelled to take on, if the school is offering 5 AP courses, they're compelled to take 5 AP courses because they know that that's how they're going to be ranked. What if you don't? What if you don't take those high-level courses, or you take some of them? Is there some flexibility in the schedule, or does every child have to go crazy taking, you know, a whole bunch of courses that they may not, you know, that we had a show some time ago on cheating, and it's pretty rampant in high schools. It's a phenomenon that's very common and very widespread. And what seemed to me to be the link is that the root cause is that kids are taking on more responsibilities than they can handle. So how do you deal with that?
Sure. While it is true that the colleges will look at you within the context of your high school, you will be at a slight disadvantage if the average student at your high school will take 5 or 6 APs and you only take 2 per mm-hmm. year, for example. On the other hand, it really is just seeing how your academic capabilities match up. And so in our counseling, we do offer options for students who may not be the traditional student within their high school. So there are options with community colleges, other summer academic programs that can also show mm-hmm. their academic capabilities without getting into that rat race of sorts. Mm-hmm. However, we have advised some students to switch high schools because the environment competitiveness was not very healthy for the student. Mm-hmm. We're very interested in having the student grow as a person and not just mm-hmm. so heavy in just the academics to the detriment of everything else.
How early would you like to see the child? How early in the process?
How early? Sandhya.
I think the sooner you start preparing for the college admission process, the better it is, mainly because the stress level is kind of reduced. I would say starting in middle school, 7th and 8th grade, you kind of start getting aware of what it takes to get into a good college, mm-hmm. And you start prepping for it, accordingly. That really helps. And in this community, especially in the South Bay, there are so many companies and so many organizations mm-hmm. that are offering free seminars that educates the public about the college mm-hmm. admissions process. Mm-hmm. I would recommend go to these seminars, get to know what it takes to get into a good college. Even the internet, there's an explosive amount of information. Mm-hmm. And if parents can do a little bit of research to help de-stress their students in this process, mm-hmm. that would be really good.
But it's quite a change. I mean, today we are talking about starting the process in middle school, whereas a generation ago, you'd start the process in junior year. So already you've added on several years of planning and preparation and stress to the child. And the other thing that I have a concern with is that in middle school, does a child really know what he or she wants to do? It's very, very rare that they would want to do that. So knowing that at that point, I mean, I can see my daughter is in 4th grade. I can tell that by the time she's in 7th, she's not going to have a very clear idea of her career path in life. And it would be very unfair. I feel that some of us don't even get to figure that out in adulthood. So to put that onus on a child in 7th grade to say, you know, okay, let's plan right now. Isn't it too much?
Sure, that is a valid concern. And so in some of our programs that we do start in middle school, our earliest counseling programs start in 6th grade, our emphasis more is on the development of the child's specific strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. Actually development of their weaknesses and under identifying their strengths. So our goal there is to make sure the child understands all the resources they have available mm-hmm. in middle school and high school to plan, to have that roadmap that actually reduces stress if they have a general idea of what's going to be expected them from years to come. And so in our experience, we find that knowing more sooner actually helps with, you know, creating a much healthier learning environment for the student.
But do you play to their strengths or do you shore up their weaknesses?
Both. I think it's very important for growth at no matter what age to understand both your limitations and your full potential.
Mm-hmm. On that note, let's take a quick break. We're talking about the college admissions process with Sandhya Balakrishnan and Tiffany Liu. Our call-in number is 510-770-1550 if you have questions about your child's college admission process. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more Parent Talk. Welcome back to Parent Talk, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya, and today's topic is college admissions, and we're talking to Sandhya Balakrishnan and Tiffany Liu of Flex Prep, which is a college counseling program, and the website for that is flexcollegeprep.com. Before the break, we were talking about how important it is to prepare early, maybe even start the process at least start the research process as early as middle school, just to explore the student's strengths and weaknesses, and maybe at that point try to figure out what are the extracurricular activities that are community service or opportunities that the child would be interested in. It gives a little more leeway, a little more time for the parents to and for the child to figure out what works and what doesn't work. Would that be fair to say, Tiffany?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we do want to emphasize that the early years we are definitely trying to de-stress and try to motivate students to really take on these activities as their own, because that's what's going to be driving them to do things. I mean, parents can only go so far. The mm-hmm. motivation does have to come within. So we do want to make sure that we let our students know in our counseling programs it's okay to make mistakes. The younger years, there's a lot of trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Work through an activity, do an activity for a month or two, but if you're just not interested or doesn't fit, that's okay. We'll find other things and find something that will click with each student. So mm-hmm. we do want to make sure to let students know it's okay to make mistakes. They will happen in the course of life.
Listeners, once again, our call-in number is 510-770-1550. And Tiffany, you also mentioned that your GPA is the first point of entry, your first point of the first thing that the admissions officer
sure.
is going to look for,
mm-hmm.
and only if that is crossed are the other factors going to be taken into consideration.
Right.
So let me ask this question: what if your child doesn't have a great GPA? Does that mean college is no longer an option for him or her, or does that mean that they will have to settle for less than excellent academic institution?
Sure. You know, that's a good question. I mean, my point in making the fact that the GPA is the most important is to just give students an idea to how to organize their time.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a lot to do with knowing your options for schools, because certain schools have certain GPA cutoffs. That's just the reality of it. But there's just so many colleges with different GPA options.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to know, will you be able to handle the course material at college?
Right.
So depending on the level of the school, they want to make sure they have a fit with the student ability and the college ability. So for a student who's not doing so well on GPA, I would say two things. One, mm-hmm. there are a lot of wonderful colleges that may not quite be at the GPA cutoff your parents or certain expectations might have driven you to, but you will be able to thrive. And if you think long term,
mm-hmm.
they may set you up better for graduate school. And the second thing I would say is that the next best thing to straight A's, as we say at Flex, is improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So if colleges can see maybe you had a rough start, you know, many things happen in life, there may be extenuating personal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If they can see a steady growth, maybe an additional A per semester in the following semesters, that can actually speak more
mm-hmm.
than a student with stronger grades. So we've seen that situation many times with our students.
Mm-hmm.
Students with maybe not the same, maybe with a student with a higher point number GPA actually doesn't get into a school that a student who shows improvement does.
I see. And
one thing I want to chime in here is most immigrant, especially the South Asians, they want their kids to get into the top 100 colleges.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is if their student doesn't have a good GPA, I want to let them know that there are about 3,000 colleges at least in the United States, and
mm-hmm.
the options in this country are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a 4.0 GPA, there are, like I said, several other colleges in this country that
mm-hmm.
are most happy to take these students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their students should explore these options. There is also one particular organization. It's called 40 Colleges That Changes Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And their admittance rate is much less competitive than the other colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that kids who don't have this fabulous 4.0 and above GPAs
mm-hmm.
should explore these options.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great schools. They're all four-year universities and colleges throughout the country,
mm-hmm.
and they're fabulous schools which would give your student an equally good education, quality education. And let me tell you that once or twice a year, this organization actually comes to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last year they had a college fair
mm-hmm.
In the Santa Clara Convention Center. And all the admission reps from these colleges actually came to talk to the students.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend, Google it, 40 Colleges That Change Lives,
mm-hmm.
and find out when they're actually going to come to the Bay Area and take your students
mm-hmm.
to visit these admissions reps and get to know these colleges.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's a great option for those who actually want to attend four-year universities.
Sure, sure. And the higher your GPA, of course, the more options you'll have. But I guess the main thing we're trying to say is there's so many options out there at whatever GPA level. So we hope parents will take a look into
that. So how does the parent who is saying, okay, maybe my kid doesn't get into the top 100 colleges, what's the next step in terms of information gathering?
it would be depending on how well you know your student, what their mm-hmm. what their specific needs are. If they're looking for a specific type of major or career path, mm-hmm. then that helps narrow down the types of colleges that fit their student and can also help them get on their career path. So I would say the first important thing would be to know your student well. Mm-hmm. And after you know that, then you can move on to what other types of colleges would be the best fit.
Absolutely. So we've discussed GPA, we've discussed standardized scores. Let's talk a little bit about the essay component. Does every university require a written essay for admission?
The UCs definitely require two essays, mm-hmm. and the lot of private colleges, I would say most private colleges do require essays, and some of them actually, like Stanford and the Ivies, actually require supplemental essays. Mm-hmm. And most kids think, oh, the essays are not read, especially in the UCs. The, many students are of the myth that the essays mm-hmm. are not looked at by the admissions officers. That's totally not true. Mm-hmm. The UCs, Berkeley and UCLA for sure, I know have gone to the holistic approach. They no longer do the point system. Mm. So one of the components of the admissions factor is definitely the essays, mm-hmm. which gives you an overall picture of the student, which the numbers don't reveal. Okay. So the essays definitely are a very important factor in the admission process.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There are a couple schools that don't require essays. The Cal State system does not require any essays. Some of the out-of-state public schools also do not require essays, and so they base whether or not you get admitted just on GPA and SAT score. Mm-hmm. However, the essay is actually one of the best opportunities for your non-traditional student
to make their
lower numbers to really make their case, to have mm-hmm. their personality shine, mm-hmm. because so many places in America do care more about the character of a person, mm-hmm. and grades are just a reflection of the character of a student.
Right, right. And what about the interview process? Is there an interview process everywhere?
No, it's similar to the essay situation, where if there is an interview process, they do want to get to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would say the majority of private schools do have them. Public schools do not have the interview as a part of the application. Mm-hmm. But if you do have an optional interview as part of the application, do take it. It can, we always say, it can only help you. It definitely will not hurt you.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
You can't mess up.
You can't really mess up. As long as you don't have a personality that completely repulses, there's really no way you can actually mess up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess if you're called for the interview, that means they want to give you a chance.
Right.
In a sense.
Many schools have the option. You can mm-hmm. sign up for an alumni interview on this website, mm-hmm. or you could, not take it. We always encourage our students to take it. With a little bit of understanding what will be expected, it can only go well for you.
It can only go well. Well, let me ask, what are the most common myths that parents have about the college admission process?
College admissions process. One thing we get from many immigrant family groups has to do with testing. This overemphasis on testing. How many SATs should I take? And after I've taken these, should I go higher? I got a 790 on the score. Should I take it again to get an 800? This is a very common question that we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things that parents think, you have to do a lot of activities to get into college. That's really not true. Colleges are not looking at the 10 million activities that you're taking throughout the 4 years of high school. What they want to see is depth mm-hmm. and not breadth. And they want to see two or three activities within the school or outside school that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And that passion has to be shown. It has to reflect. And at the end of each activity, they're looking to see integrity and leadership. Mm-hmm. And leadership is not defined by just whether you've become the president of the club or you've become the vice president. But in other words, what have you done for the club? Have you raised funds? Mm-hmm. Have you moved from junior varsity to varsity? How have you impacted the club? Have you raised membership and so on. Mm. So colleges, again, are looking at the depth, but mm-hmm. not breadth mm-hmm. that you're passionate about. Yeah,
absolutely. Any other common myths about college admission
sure.
process?
Sure. I would say a lot of families will come to us to ask about the magic list of extracurricular activities. Like, what are the activities that will catch the college's eye? And they, mm-hmm. they actually think that the college, admissions officers have this list. No such list exists. Mm. It actually, for extracurricular activities, you can almost do anything. Mm. It depends on how you describe your motivations. Why did you do it? And mm-hmm. often in the interview and essay, college admissions officers are looking for that. How did you spend your time? Why did you spend it that way? And if you can adequately explain that and show who you are,
it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, even lawn mowing, working in Starbucks, and earning money, and or helping your student, or helping your siblings when your parents, both your parents are working, or a parent is disabled. How did you contribute during the summer to your own family? It all shows character development, and definitely when we are reading the essays, and I do read essays for UCLA Alumni Scholarships, so I've read thousands of essays, and you know, the one that stands out most is, you know, the development of the applicant's character. We are not so impressed with many of the typical immigrant student essays. Oh, I went to India and I worked in the hospital for 3 weeks or 6 weeks, or I went to Africa or Mexico and I did this and I did that. Often that really doesn't impress me. These immigrant stories, or I did my Arangetram, and I know Arangetram takes a lot of
effort.
My own daughter did that. It takes years of preparation.
Right.
All that is great, but it's what you learned out of doing that Arangetram. How did you grow as a person?
That's
very
what you're
important
for. It's not just the activity, but the purpose behind and the motivation behind
it. The intellectual and the character development that you show in taking a particular activity.
Doesn't this mean that it's just a question of how you present whatever you've been doing? It's a lot of it is it seems to be a matter of presentation.
A large part of it does have to do that, where we find that many students in the Bay Area are now coming to realize that, and when they come to the end time where they have to package everything they've done in 4 years, they realize how much importance is played on how they say things and how they present. So I would say that's
As a corollary to that, I want to ask, and both of you have looked at a lot of admissions packets, and what are some of the mistakes that you've seen, common mistakes that you've seen parents make, especially if you can speak to that of the immigrant community?
Common mistakes. Again, that will have a lot to do with the overemphasis on testing, where they spend so much time trying to make sure that all their testing sections are right, and they'll spend a lot of time trying to figure out what tests to take, to the detriment of realizing that there may be 10 or 12 type of extracurricular profiling information they need to put on the application, and not spending enough time actually thinking through how do you write up your description, which activities, how should you order them. I think a lot of emphasis is too much on the
quantity,
logistical type
and
of things, and not so much on how you present.
Yeah. One application that I read comes to mind. There was this student from a local high school in the South Bay, and she had written, she became the CEO, she started a company, and she was the CEO of the company. And usually in a UC application, they ask you to list the number of hours that you spend in each grade, 9, 10, 11, 12. So when I looked at her application and she said CEO of a company and she did this and she did that, I said, we all said, wow. And I looked to see how many hours she had spent on this company. Basically, overall, 3 to 10 hours.
Oh.
And this really shocked me. This kind of showed that there was no real commitment. So when I look at the applications, I actually do very much like to see the depth, like how many hours they spent on each activity over the 4 years. Some people just do one activity in ninth grade and they drop it, and there's no continuation of that activity. You can tell, they're just resume boosting and they don't show any real passion in what they're doing. That, I think, is a common mistake.
However, because I'm also privy to the kind of application preparation that happens for students coming from outside the country, I do know that there is certainly, I can personally say that there are kids coming from India where a lot of the activity, again, it's a presentation. You know, it's presented really well. And sometimes in some ways, I feel that the kids who are applying locally are at a slight disadvantage, especially since with the budget cuts, there's a lot more interest in getting students who can pay full scholar or out of state residence fees. Is that a problem? Is that a concern that you have a lot more competition coming from outside the country?
That is a reality that many parents will have to face, especially with budget cuts. We do have a lot more international students who can pay full tuition to come through. But what a lot of families, I think, don't quite realize is that at the local level, the student can understand more of the community aspect that is so important to colleges. When you are from a local community, a lot of the admissions officers may be very familiar with that geographical region, so they can say, oh, you participate in that organization. I know somebody can connected with that, or I've met students before who've dealt with that. So there's a sense of familiarity that can definitely, you know, help with the admissions process for local students, I would say.
Yes, go ahead.
Sandra. Yeah, one of the things, in fact, just before coming to this show, we have a colleague who was the former UC Berkeley admissions reader, and I was just asking her, has the quota for the international admissions really gone up for the UCs? And she said, yes, the international admissions quota has gone up, but busting a myth here, they have not reduced the number of students that they intake from California. That apparently has remained the same. And she also told me that these statistics for 2012 is available on the UC website of the Office of the President. So those who are really interested in this particular fact can go onto the website. And a lot of the 2012 admission statistics are already up for people's information.
Oh, that's excellent. On that note, let's take another break. The number to call in is 510-770-1550, and you're listening to Parent Talk. Welcome back to Parent Talk, the show brought to you by the India Community Center. We are a live show, and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. Just before the break, we talked about what are the common mistakes that parents make when they're planning the college admission process. And I think the biggest one was that they emphasize quantity over quality. And even when it comes to extracurricular, it's better to do a few things well than many things in a very shallow fashion. We also talked about the importance of presenting your experience in the right way, not getting bogged down by the logistics of the and the facts of the experience, but more the emotional heft of the experience and the learning out of that experience. Am I right, Tiffany?
Yes, I think it's a great summary.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, our current environment. There are definitely in our current employment situation, in our current economic situation, many graduates are graduating with a fair amount of student debt and not very healthy career prospects in mind. So that leads to a couple of questions. One is, financially, what are the things that parents should be looking for when they're thinking about college for their kids in terms of just the return on investment? That's my first question. And the second thing is, are there some fields of study that make more sense than others?
I think in terms of financial consideration, I would encourage families to look more into perhaps lower top-tier universities or the top of the second-tier universities that do actually offer full scholarships to many qualified students. And I think sometimes immigrant families are so concerned about brand name, they don't give certain schools a chance. But if they look at some of the numbers, they'll find that, you know, graduating debt-free can actually give students a lot more flexibility after school, after they finish undergrad. And if undergraduate is not the terminal degree, families do need to plan on having the financial resources to support their students through any graduate programs you might have, because if you think undergraduate is expensive, wait till you get to medical, law, or business school.
Almost
double the price.
So how does a parent, I mean, you said top school, so for a parent wanting to find out where the scholarship opportunities are the best, or how does the parent go about doing that?
Sure, we do have, there are a lot of online resources available. Collegeboard.com has a great network of different websites that you can step into. We do also offer supportive services at Flex that find the best scholarship situation for each student in our college counseling programs. There are a lot of outside scholarships that are dependent on one or two activities or qualities of a student, but there are many universities out there that colleges that parents may not know do offer quite good financial aid packages, some better than others, that I think they would benefit from doing that kind of research.
Yeah, and it's also very important to for parents to know what is a loan, what is a grant, and what is a scholarship. There's a lot of difference between all these three terms. What I would suggest is, once you have your college list ready, I would suggest that go to the website of every university, and every university has a link to their financial aid scholarship program. And scholarship program, and thousands and thousands of scholarships are listed listed on each college website, and you should apply to them. Very often what happens is after the application process is over, which is usually the senior year in December, the college scholarship season begins. Very often many of the scholarship deadlines are April of the senior year and so on. Kids are so burnt out, they're so tired of the applications that many of them don't bother to apply to these scholarships because it also involves writing essays. But this is where some parents can help, you know. If they can help their students get organized and find out or narrow down like two or three that the students could apply to, that would greatly benefit them. And I would say even the essays that you write for the colleges, you can recycle some of the essays, change it to suit the questions. And, you know, very often you'll find that you will be awarded these scholarships. Based on my own daughter's experience, she was so burnt out of the college application process, she refused to apply to many of the scholarships. But I actually made her apply. And believe me, she got awarded at least 10 to 15 scholarships, which she made use of.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
That's fantastic. But I guess the thing that may be preventing a lot of families from applying is that will they qualify because of the income cutoff? I mean, they may think that, we earn too much to be asking for this kind of scholarship.
Yeah, many of the scholarships are not need-based. They're all based on your achievements, the talent, the leadership that you've shown. So you do qualify for them. It's definitely not need-based.
I see. That's a very important thing to remember.
In fact, our own Indian community, if you look at India West, you see the number of organizations that are offering scholarships to our Indian students. Definitely, I can't recall any one particular thing right now, but the PTSA of probably many of the schools do offer scholarships. Apply and you never know, you might get it.
Right. It's just having to go through that drudgery of the process that you have to apply in many, many, many places and hope
they
something clicks.
They require essays.
And they require essays.
Yeah.
Right. Tiffany, what about the second part of my question, which was, given the current economic situation, should parents be looking at certain specific fields of study? And also, does the brand name make a difference at that point? Because is it easier to get a job if you have the brand name? After all, why do parents? I mean, there's bragging rights, of course, but parents also want believe, I think, that brand name will help you get your foot in the door when it comes to employment.
Sure. There is some truth in that because many top-level colleges do have very extensive alumni networking, which does help with job placement. But the reality is it really just depends on getting your foot in the door with your very first job. If you look at a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, the top-level executives, most of them did not go to brand-name colleges. A lot of them have just started with a really good opportunity at the very beginning and just building their way up. When we think about hiring even at Flex, some of the people that come in for that, we do note that, you know, school only gets you so far, but work ethic is what gets you the farthest. In terms of types of jobs, I would just encourage families to be very, very mindful of how the economy is shifting right now. You know, there's a big boom in the biotech medical sectors, you know, engineering will always be very stable, but there are very, very quick changes. And you know, some people parents have mentioned to them that they don't feel like the computer science industry is very stable because it's a very young industry where they like hiring youth, and once you get to a certain age, it's
you
harder
tend to get
to,
outdated.
To develop. Absolutely. So it's very important to just make sure you know how to read the times well and get the accurate information.
Where would one do that? How would a parent get a sense of that?
We do offer a lot of services at FLEX College Prep that can help steer the students and parents in the right direction. But just being very aware, I mean, we've tried to train our students to be very global citizens, so always being very mindful of what's going on in the news, you know, having in-depth analysis of the economy, the political situation definitely help with in terms of future career aspects as well.
In terms of the financial considerations, I also want to throw out a suggestion, rather I have a question, which is, what about kids who go to community colleges to finish some of their basic courses because of financial considerations, and then maybe just go to a named college or a four-year college to finish off? Is that an option? Is that a realistic option?
Actually, that's becoming, there was a boom about that maybe a couple, two, three years ago. That was becoming more and more popular, it's dumbed down a little bit, mainly because community colleges are also facing budget crises. Mm-hmm. And so many students who thought they could transfer in 2 years are finding they may not be able to transfer till three and a half, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't really make a difference at the end of your undergraduate career, because your diploma will still say if you went to community college and then you transferred to UCLA, there's no indication that you went on to community college elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So, and for some families, it really very much is a very good financial consideration with quality.
Can you transfer from a community college to a private college, or is the door only open to UCs?
So the UCs have a specific quota. They are required to accept a certain number of students from
community college
each year. Their private schools do accept, but they are not required. They don't have that quota.
I see. Okay, and let's talk about sports. A lot of kids pursue sports in the hope that they can get sports scholarships. Is that realistic?
Depends on the level of your student. We have worked with a couple students who have gotten into top-level schools primarily because of their sport. They may or may not choose to play the sport depending on what division of athletics that the students that the college's sports are at. So we would say, we usually say to students, it's all about character building. Sports can indicate, you know, whether or not you can work well with the team, whether you're willing to put in the time for the practices. So can be of benefit, but it's an opportunity cost, right? So you're seeing what you're leaving out if you are participating in the sport. So there are a lot of factors that come in that we can help.
That's
support.
True. They do happen to be pretty time intensive.
Yeah, and if you're interested in sports recruiting, let me tell you that sports recruiting happens way before 12th grade. So actually the recruiting process starts, I would say, in the 11th grade. So if you're at a very high level sport, Division One and so on, if the coaches of different universities don't contact you, then you should contact the coaches, and the process should start happening, I would say, even in 10th or 11th grade.
I see. I have a question here from our producer, going back to the last point, which is, can you transfer from community college to out-of-state colleges?
Yes, you can. That actually does happen at quite a high level, especially because California public schools are not having as many spots available. The competition is tougher.
But it's accepted.
It is accepted. A lot of out-of-state colleges love California students. And so,
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, they like drawing that population there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. Yes. Okay, let me ask about letters of recommendation. When do they come into the picture?
Okay,
are they important? When are they used? Should students actively start building up those relationships with their teachers so that they may need it at some point in time?
Yes, definitely. I know the UCs do not require letters of recommendations, and neither does the CSU, but most of the private colleges do require at least two letters of recommendation. And they have to be academic teachers. So teachers that you have worked with from 9th through the 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, from what I've heard through my training at UCLA, it's good to have letters of recommendation from two different subject areas. It's not necessary, but it would be good. Like one letter of recommendation from the humanities and one from maybe
sciences.
Math and science.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I've read a lot of recommendations for my UCLA scholarships. After a while, all the letters of recommendation begin to look the same.
So
I would suggest that letters. Whatever mm-hmm. teacher you're going to ask, that it would be great if that teacher knows you outside of your academic environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she's an advisor of the club, or she knows you personally through some other activity outside of school, then she can write something more than the norm.
Yeah,
try to ask from somebody, yeah, whom you know.
Okay.
Outside of school also.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What about gap year? Can students take the time off to explore, and what is the impact of taking off a year before going to college? What impact does that have?
Sure. The gap year is a personal decision that students and families can make together depending on how ready the student is to attend college.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that for some students, when they do take the gap year, they come back more mature, more motivated, and does help with their academic potential for college. The logistics of gap year, you would want to make sure you are accepted into a college before you take that gap year, and so you can gain,
and you defer it.
And to defer it, you can gain permission from the college to defer. They'll want to know what you're doing, and you'll write up a letter explaining why you wish to take a year off before starting the college. So it could be a great opportunity to grow and mature, and students really realize the value of an education after they've been out of the school setting for a little bit.
So we're just about coming to the end of our show, so just want to ask you to give the information of your organization and also talk a little bit about the statistics of FlexPrep. And, you know,
FlexPrep is an educational consulting company, and we have about 4 centers in the Bay Area, one in Almaden, Fremont, Los Altos, and Cupertino. And we have about 3-4 centers in Los Angeles and a few in Korea.
Wow.
I actually went last year to India to do some biz dev, and I actually talked to the, you know, organizations like Princeton Review, Head of India, and they're very interested in partnering with Flex to help undergraduate students come to this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a growing company. Having said that, I also would recommend that those who don't know too much about the admissions process, feel free to call any one of our centers, and we offer free one-on-one counseling session with any one of our counselors like Tiffany here, mm-hmm. and it's completely no obligation. And if you want to know where your student stands with regard to test prep, feel free to come and take a diagnostic test. We actually simulate the real SAT-1 test. It's a 3 hours, 45-minute test. You can come take it at any one of our centers. Within 2 days, we call the student and the parent with the results, and we go through the entire test, you know, telling the student what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, what's the future course of action, mm-hmm. and kind of mapping the SAT with them.
Okay, wonderful. And that's flexcollegeprep.com. And I know you also have seminars sometimes that are open to the public that talk more about the college admission process. That's all for our show today. Thank you to Sandhya and Tiffany for being here today and sharing your thoughts and expertise.
Thank you, Vidya. So nice of you to call us over here.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Next week on Parent Talk, we'll be talking about nutrition and healthy eating in college. If you want to participate in any of our shows, please write to me at radio@indiacc.org. And you can find the lineup of the shows at indiacc.org/parenttalk. That's where you will also find this show's recording as well as recordings of past shows. The show's producer is Saad Jaffrey, and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye.
Hello friends, main aapka dost Deen Mani. Tune in to my show every Friday 6 to 8 and Saturdays 12 to 2 p.m. right here on Radio Zindagi 1550 a.m. For sponsorship and ads, call me 510-200-2415 or email me din@radiozindagi.com.